You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday the 30th of November 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, the first bit of news that I have today from our multicultural utopia comes from France. Police arrested an 18-year-old rapper in Seine-et-Marne this week for publishing a music video featuring lyrics that allegedly praised the murder of teacher Samuel Paty. And of course, that was the teacher that was beheaded a couple of weeks back by an extremist Muslim. And the response to that beheading was to see the whole of the Muslim world up in arms, burning the French flag and attacking Macron for condemning this beheading of a teacher and saying that this was extremist Islam. It seems that the rest of the Muslim world were quite keen to show that it was not extremist Islam. It was normal Islam that objects to any representation of Muhammad, particularly comedic representations of Muhammad. And of course, the Quran says anything like that, it invokes a death sentence on the head of the infidel. So what we now see is rappers supporting this, not just it's not just extremist Muslims that support this. It's a large portion of the Islamic world that think that that is a suitable retribution for blasphemy. Rightly or wrongly, that is what they think, and that is the mentality of a certain portion of Muslims in France. Even among the rappers, this is, and you would not expect rappers to be extremist Muslims, would you? You would expect them to be more sort of streetwise and non-observant of Islam, or not sufficiently observant of Islam to be supporting things like that. Rapper Maker initially released the song entitled Samuel Paty earlier this month on several social media platforms, including YouTube, before it was taken down. So the whole song was dedicated to the teacher that was brutally executed on the streets of France. The song's lyrics include the line, "We cut like Samuel Paty without empathy," while a car is on fire in the background of the video, newspaper Le Figaro reports. And setting fire to cars has become a bit of a tradition amongst the immigrant communities of France, particularly in the suburbs that are full of these immigrant communities. They do this at Christmas time, on New Year's Eve. Something like over 1,000 cars get torched every New Year's Eve. This has been going on for years now. In recent years, they've tried to not really draw much attention to it, but they did a few years back. The same thing went on after the football a couple of years back as well. When France won the football, the immigrant community celebrated that by setting fire to lots of cars. So I would suggest that's why he has this car on fire in the background here. He's showing his solidarity with his community there. Just days after the video had been banned, a 14-year-old boy attending a Savigny-le-Temple school used the lyrics to threaten his teacher during a class on freedom of expression. The teen, who was placed under investigation, was also carrying a taser in his pocket at the time. So this shows us that the school pupils, there's a certain portion of these pupils at these schools that, instead of being shocked and horrified that one of their teachers was murdered, are actually supporting the person who did the murdering. I mean, surely this is going to divide the country, isn't it? It's going to divide the country between the Islamic supporters of the murder at the school and the white French supporters of freedom of expression. We have all sorts of problems happening in France at the moment due to a new law coming in that prevents the public from filming the police, which is ostensibly to protect the police from having their faces put online and then being targeted. But it also means that it prevents the public from filming scenes of police brutality. So France is a real powder keg at the moment. And when you think of the yellow vests that were the yellow vest protests that were only stopped by the coronavirus, and now we have this, which is splitting France along religious lines. I think we can't be far away from a civil war there, to be honest. We look at what's happening in America and we say, well, that is a very polarized society, but France is in a similar situation here. And when you think of the number of immigrants there are, particularly in the younger generations, it's the same as it is over here in Britain. I think in Britain there are about 40% of the youngsters at primary school are now from immigrant backgrounds, and it's going to be worse in France. So you're talking half the class that potentially supports the murder of the teacher and the other half of the class that don't. And how long will it be before the friction starts showing itself between the white French school children and the Muslim school children in open confrontations? This teenager here who's been placed under investigation, he was carrying a taser in his pocket to school. Since the murder of Mr. Patty, who was killed by a Chechen terrorist for showing Mohammed cartoons published by Charlie Hebdo to his class during a lesson on freedom of expression, there has been a surge of threats to teachers and other public officials, according to a judicial source. It's exploding. There are many threats against public figures, the President of the Republic, the Prime Minister, several ministers, deputies, and teachers, the source said. And part of this is also because Macron said that Islam needs to modernize, and there is a problem with Islam, and he is also seeking to separate what he calls political Islam from extremist Islam, or rather he is saying that political Islam is the same as extremist Islam and that needs to be separated from religious Islam. But political Islam is at least 50% of Islam. It's all about politics. It's all about how the system of governance should be, and everybody should be under Sharia law. The Sharia law is political Islam. So you can't really tell Muslims that they have to separate the political side of their religion from their religion, because that is an essential part of it. I mean, when you think about Christianity, it's the same, really. You have the Ten Commandments. In a Christian society, we are supposed to be based around the Ten Commandments and the system of governance that we have in the Bible, which is a system of monarchy. And we still have a monarchy, even though it is a constitutional monarchy. So Macron is really not being realistic when he says that French Muslims have to give up political Islam, and of course this is going to cause them to rebel, and this is what we are seeing, and this is what nationalists have been warning about for decades, particularly the National Front, who are now called the National Rally. They've been warning that this is the sort of thing that is going to happen if you keep importing non-whites into France, which they have continued to do, and now they are really reaping what they have sown. In some areas of France, high numbers of pupils question whether criticizing Islam should be allowed at all. In the Paris suburbs, one teacher claimed that as many as a third of her pupils questioned France's values regarding freedom of expression. And I would suggest that is because a third of her pupils are probably now Islamic because of the rate of immigration, the rate of multiplying amongst these communities. And as I say, the younger generations, the immigrant communities make up much more of a majority than they do in the older generations, just because they are so much more fertile than white people are. The teacher said, after the attack on Charlie Hebdo in January 2015, there was spontaneously a form of national unity. Of course, we heard phrases like, they asked for it. We heard people say that, but it was very rare, she added. But since the murder of Patty, pupils' attitudes have shifted. I mean, that's incredible, isn't it? You know, this when the people that actually drew the cartoons, when their offices were attacked, there was an outcry saying that this was terrible. There was all this national unity. They did hear a few odd extremist Muslims supporting it. But that was actually on the offices of Charlie Hebdo. And then when you have a school teacher who is just teaching his class and trying to have a debate on freedom of expression and he gets beheaded, suddenly you have a third of the pupils that are actually supporting that. As she says here, since the murder of Patty, pupils' attitudes have shifted. They've shifted in quite a considerable direction there against France, haven't they? Just in the space of a few years. The arrest of Maker comes just 2 years after Muslim rapper Medine Zaouchi, who released an album called Jihad, calling to behead secularists, announced that he would play a concert at the Bataclan nightclub in Paris where 90 people were killed in a radical Islamic terrorist attack in 2015. And that was probably the most horrific out of all these attacks that took place in France. The youngsters that were there at this concert, they were literally tortured to death, and that the torture was so horrific that the mainstream media couldn't actually report on it. It was so horrific that they couldn't actually report on it. And what we have here, I mean, this is so sacrilegious to the memories of those innocent victims, to have a Muslim rapper there who calls for the beheading of secularists to actually be playing in that concert hall. And we think things are bad over here in Britain, but they are so much worse in France. And of course, if we continue in the direction that we're going in Britain, we are going to end up in the same situation as France, which has the largest number of Muslims per country in Europe, and also the most amount of Islamic terrorism. Also, the most number of churches that get attacked. We don't often hear about this, but there are churches that are attacked weekly, churches desecrated, set fire to, of course, because it's seen as idolatry by Islam. Moving back to Britain for our next news story here, the Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police has defended the use of stop and search powers, despite the fact that they are disproportionately used on black people. How dare she? How dare Cressida Dick still support the use of stop and search powers when they are disproportionately used on black people? Why might it be that Dame Cressida Dick still supports this policy? Well, she says, in the past couple of years, we have considerably reduced the number of stabbings of young, and I'm afraid I have to say it, black boys in the streets of London. But the figures are still truly shocking. A young black lad is 9 times more likely to be killed than a young white lad, and I hate that. And of course, everybody hates that. And how is it that we are supposed to deal with this? How are we supposed to deal with the fact that young black males are being killed at 9 times the rate of young white males? Well, the only way that you can really deal with this is try to put the lid back on the bottle that the genie has escaped from and use stop and search powers and stop people that the police have a suspicion of on the streets of London to see whether they are carrying weapons. In the areas where this takes place, the murder rate and the attack rate goes down. And it went up when they stopped the use of stop and search. They've brought it back in again since this massive increase in knife crime that they have in London. But the huge increase in knife crime was brought about by stopping these stop and search powers, or making it so that it was too difficult for the police to actually use them. And she's pointing out here that young black lads are 9 times more likely to be killed than young white lads. But let's have a look at the figures for this, because there's something she's leaving out here, and that is the number of black lads who are found guilty of murder, and in particular murdering the young black lads, because I would suggest that even though blacks are 9 times more likely to be killed than young whites, they are also more than 9 times more likely to be the actual killers. So let's have a look at the figures here. And these figures are from a Sky News Freedom of Information request, and I actually included them on the image to Friday's Daily Nationalist podcast. These figures tell us that 44% of murder victims are black, while 35% of murder victims are white. And you look at that and you think, well, that's only a little bit over the same amount. How can they say that they are 9 times more likely to be murder victims when it's only 44% of murder victims that are black and 35% that are white? But this is because blacks only make up 13% of the population. So actually saying that they're 9 times more likely to be murdered is probably a conservative estimate. Is probably a conservative estimate. So let's now have a look at the number of black murder suspects. And the number of black murder suspects actually make up a higher number than the victims. 48% of murder suspects are black, while only 24% of murder suspects are white. And bear in mind that the black murder victims are 44%, black murder suspects are 48%. White murder victims are 35%, but white murder suspects are just 24%. And Dame Cressida Dick is telling us that the young black lads are 9 times more likely to be killed than a white lad. So if we take that as our base, and we can see here that black murder suspects are 48% more likely than whites, and white murder suspects are just 24%, then that means the blacks have to be well over 10 times more likely to be murder suspects than whites are. Well over 10 times more likely to be murder suspects. So we can see here that blacks should be stopped and searched at least 10 times more than whites, if you actually go by the murder figures. And I believe I saw a report over the weekend that says that they were only stopped 4 or 5 times. Only 4 or 5 times. And according to the figures, they should be 10 times stopped, at least 10 times more, because they're 10 times more likely to be murder suspects. And you can't say that this is because of racism or oppression. This isn't because white people are being mean to blacks. They are just more likely to be murder suspects. And I would suggest the reason for that is because they don't have the level of self-control over their emotions and their temper as white people do. We have had centuries of learning self-discipline and having control over our emotions. And blacks haven't had centuries of that. They've only been in Britain for the last 70 years. And before then, they never had a system of law of their own. They never developed one. In Africa, if they got angry, the likelihood is they could murder their next door neighbor. And if the next door neighbor's family didn't come and murder you back, well, that was it. So there was no incentive to actually learn to have self-discipline. It's not something they have evolved. And the proof of that is the fact that they are 10 times more likely to be murder suspects in the City of London. Continuing with the article here, Dame Cressida Dick told the Sunday Times magazine that nobody was stopped because of the colour of their skin. And that really shouldn't need to be said. I mean, the police are stopping people because they have a suspicion that they might be carrying a weapon. That suspicion may come because a witness has said to them, "I have just been attacked," or "I have just seen this person with a weapon," or it may be because they fit the description of somebody that is wanted for an attack. That is the reason why they will be stopping people, not because they are black. And of course, anybody who is black and is stopped by the police, they're going to suggest that must have been a racist stop. They were stopped purely and simply because they're black, because so many more blacks are stopped than whites. But in actual fact, the reason for this is because they are far more likely to be guilty of the crime. Cressida Dick said, "We are targeting young people who are likely to be carrying knives and guns and drugs. We are in among the drug markets, and what that means is, overall, a higher proportion of young black lads being stopped than white lads. Now, what does this tell us? This tells us that also young black lads are more likely to be involved in the drug trade than whites are. Again, is that because of racism, or is that just because blacks tend to lean towards criminal behavior? Who knows? I suspect that the establishment will try and say that this is because they have difficulties getting jobs. They have difficulties getting employment. But when we look at the level of crime that we see among them, you think, well, why would somebody want to employ somebody who is far more likely to engage in criminal behavior and is also far more likely to have a lower IQ than somebody who is white? This is why we have to have all these diversity quotas to force people to employ them. And if blacks were living among their own black people, there would be equality. There would be no need to force them to employ blacks. And there would be no need for them to be feeling oppressed or feeling hard done by. They would not be able to make accusations that they were being discriminated against. The simplest solution to all the problems that we have is to just segregate between whites and blacks. There would be no more racism. Racism would not be able to happen then. And the blacks would be so much happier because they would not be measuring themselves against people who are obviously different to them, while believing that these people are the same as them. We're quite clearly, we are not the same as these other races. Visually, we can tell that they are different, and statistically, from their behavior, we can tell that they are different. Cressida Dick continued. She said that between 23% and 25% of searches resulted in officers finding something, no matter what the ethnicity of the person being searched. So these searches, one in four of them actually find something. So they are fairly accurate. And this figure remains the same, no matter how much higher in proportion the number of blacks that are being searched is. I think this report I saw over the weekend said that they were four or five times more likely to be searched than whites. But if they still have the same number of searches resulting in them finding something between 23 and 25%, then obviously this is not due to discrimination. This is due to the fact that they are more likely to fit these witness descriptions. However, a report by the Equality and Human Rights Commission said that disproportionate use of stop and search powers on communities of colour harmed trust in the police. They said the experience of being unfairly targeted for stop and search undermines the legitimacy of policing, which in turn has material effects on the willingness of victims of crime and witnesses to pass information to the police and voluntary compliance with the law. No democratic policing practice can survive without legitimacy and consent, and in the most extreme cases, the inappropriate use of stop and search carries the risk of creating confrontations between police and public that can trigger disorder. So what is the Equality and Human Rights Commission saying there? They are saying that regardless of the fact that 10 times as many blacks are more likely to be murder suspects than whites, it is better just not to search them because there might be public disorder if you do. They're saying there might be confrontations between the police and the public. There might be social disorder. Blacks might not want to pass information on to the police. They might not want to comply with the law if the police continue disproportionately stopping and searching these people, regardless of the fact that they're 10 times more likely to actually be murder suspects. And what do you think would be the best way to deal with this? Is it better just to leave them alone to kill one another because they might riot if you stop and search them? Or is it better to stop and search more of them and try to prevent so many of them from actually being killed? Of course, the correct way to deal with this is to just segregate the communities and have the black people being policed by their own black police, because then they cannot accuse the black police of being racist against them. And this is partially the reason why Sadiq Khan is saying, well, we need to have a 40% black police force within the next 2 years. He wants to encourage black and minority ethnics to join the police because he's listening to what the blacks are saying and he thinks that that will reduce the level of racism. But all the while, there are still white police in that police force while there is a black community that has been policed by them. There are still going to be accusations of racism. That is not going to solve the problem. The only way to solve this problem is to completely segregate blacks from whites, and then there can be no accusations of discrimination, can there? Well, I've got one final positive news story to get into today, and I've had it actually in the notes for a while, but I haven't been able to include it because the other news stories have taken so long. And this is a positive news story for us to finish on. Although it's a horrific thing that actually happened, but the hero of the story was a white man. A 15-year-old girl was the victim of an attempted rape on her way home from school in early October, and now police are appealing for witnesses to come forward. The girl turned down an alleyway off the causeway near East Finchley Station, that's in London, to find three men smoking. It was Wednesday, October the 7th at 5:30 p.m. The men followed her before grabbing her and holding her against the wall. One of the men sexually assaulted her and then pulled his trousers down. The attackers were then disturbed by a man who turned down the alleyway and they ran off. The man then walked the victim to East Finchley Station and made sure she got on a bus. Police are also looking to speak to this man who helped, as they say he could have vital information to help them identify the attackers. The man who helped is described as a white man, aged approximately 40, of slim build and wearing sports trousers, a police spokesperson said. He was carrying a blue bag and looked like he may have been going to the gym. So he may well have been a right-wing person, may well have been a nationalist, somebody who tries to take care of themselves physically, certainly a good Samaritan anyway. The police spokesperson added, these suspects are described as black males, aged in the mid to late teens, and wearing black school trousers. So school children. Schoolboys, black schoolboys, three of them tried to rape this young girl. And this is the difference between whites and non-whites. When you hear of rape, when you hear of rape in the past, it would be a singular white male that had raped a female. What we get now with these non-white communities is gang rape. We get pack rape. We get gangs of them that engage in this sort of behavior. And it is condoned in Islam. They have a word for it. It is called taharush. And it is, the intention of it is to force the infidels to cover themselves up and make sure that they are accompanied by a male on the way out. And it actually has a name for it because it is an accepted part of Islam. It is encouraged by the imams. But we don't know that these were Muslims here. What we do know is that they were black males and that they were just school children. Suspect one is of slim build with black plaits in his hair, approximately 5'11", wearing a navy blue Nike coat. Suspect two is of slim build with black wavy hair, approximately 5'7", and wearing a black Nike coat. Suspect three is of chubby build with dark curly hair, approximately 5'7" tall, and wearing a black Nike coat. So obviously a fan of Nike. PC Mary Fenton of the Northwest Safeguarding Team said, I would like to reassure the community that these types of incidents are extremely rare, and my team and I are working on all lines of inquiry to identify those responsible. Well, they're not as rare as they used to be, are they? They do seem to be increasing as the demographics of the City of London change. We see more and more of these sort of things happening. She continued, in this incident, thankfully, a passerby intervened, stopping the attack. And I would ask him to come forward and speak to the police. He could hold crucial information that could assist us. And I'm just so thankful that there was a white man walking past. If there hadn't been a white man walking past, if white people had been an even smaller minority than they already are in London, then who knows what would have happened to this young girl. And of course, I have to add here at the end of the podcast that none of this is intended as criticism of the non-whites or their behavior. This is criticism of our own government, who is responsible for importing these people and then trying to cover up their crimes and making excuses for it. All of this is down to our own governments, and our own governments are made up of our own people. So it is criticism of ourselves, and it's only ourselves that are going to be able to put a stop to this. We cannot look to others. All we can look to is ourselves, put things right in our lives, set a good example in our own lives, like this white man did in saving this this young girl from a horrible, horrible fate. And the more things we do like that, the more people will want to emulate us. The more this sort of thing gets covered up, the more people will wake up to what is going on, and the more people will support nationalist organisations. And eventually, we will have members in the establishment who support us and start standing up for white self-interests, the indigenous British people's self-interests, more so than these non-white interests. And eventually, I would hope we would get to a situation where we would have segregation, whether it will be encouraging them to go back to their own countries or whether it will be giving them separate parts of the country for themselves to live in. Eventually, that just does have to happen. If it doesn't happen, then it will end up in the same situation that France is in, the same situation eventually that South Africa is in, if something isn't done about this. And of course, I'm not encouraging people to do anything about it individually themselves. It's the government that needs to change its policies. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.